Well, good morning. Why don't you stand with us and worship? Thankful to have you all here. Thankful to everybody that's online too.
Great are you, Father. Great is your love. Day after day I see. Who was and is and who is to come is watching over me. You write my stories, you in my wars, you give unending grace. Through changing seasons will come and go, your faithfulness. Your faithfulness to me. Great is your faithfulness. Your goodness and mercy follow me. Great is your faithfulness.
Lord, I will follow. So take the lead. My life is not my own. Take my surrender. Take all I am. I trust in you alone. And oh, when the night falls all around, if darkness should cloud my way, with songs of victory, you'll lead me on until that glorious day. Great is your faithfulness to me. Your faithfulness, your goodness and mercy follow me. Great is your faithfulness. When stars surrender, the sun gives way, and when my race is run, with host of heaven I will confess, great is your faithfulness. With host of heaven I will confess, great is your faithfulness.
Faithfulness.
creation knows the voice, a spoken to the void, the breath that brought the dust to life and sang the stars to fall. The darkness fears your voice that drove it back before. And though the night is long, I know your light will drive it back once more. One word from my fight is not my own. Its end is in your hands. I worship you because I know all things must bow to your command. One word from silenced and cower at his rule. For if my God is for me, then what have I to fear? And I will not deny him the glory that is his. Will heaven not prevail and strongholds not be moved? Will spirits not be silenced and cower at his rule? For if my God is for me, then what have I to fear? And I will not deny him the glory that is his. Heaven will prevail, and strongholds will be moved. Spirits will be silenced and cower at his roar. I know my God is for me. To fear, for nothing will deny. praise you, Lord. We give it all to you.
You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope.
Restore
every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only.
Shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing.
God, you are great. You are awesome. You are transcendent and sovereign. You're a God of blessing, a God of purpose and meaning that goes far beyond this life, all the way to eternity. A God who has called to us so that we might respond to you. A God who's come not to condemn us, but to save us. To give us a full and meaningful life. A God who forgives. And as we look at our own brokenness a little bit this morning, Father, help us to not retreat in fear, but embrace the fact that, yes, we too have been cursed by original sin. And we've got some cracks. We're broken in certain places. We even have some incompleteness, some missing pieces in our life. Lord, allow us to approach you in a bold way today. Help us to set aside our fractured self-esteem and come into your presence and realize that you are the answer to the sin that affects us, the sin that extends from us. And you are faithful and just. When we confess to you our sins, you forgive them and you forget them. That you are a God of fresh starts and new beginnings. You are a God that heals and brings transformation. We pray today for our world. We pray today for our country. We pray today for our city, our church, and all the churches in our city. And Jesus, you've brought to mind someone we should pray for today. Some are needing healing. Others need a relational healing. Others, Lord, are just, well, they're filled with a sense of fear and intrepidation as they prepare for surgery this week. We also pray a speedy recovery for those that have come out of surgery this last week. And Lord, where we have a tendency to be myopic in our view of things, widen out our perspective. As we look to you and we look to heaven, there's always hope in you. There's always a future because you have eternity waiting for us. We worship you today in truth and in spirit. And Father, as you lift us up in worship, I pray that you will be lifted up and that we will feel your presence, your power, and your peace. And so we pray all these things in your name. Amen. Let's thank those leading us this morning. It's great to see you all present. It's great to have you with us online today. Today's a little bit different. We're refreshing our sanctuary building, and that means we're actually going to do 3 services on the hour here in the Fellowship Center. So we're shooting for 10 minutes before the hour to be finished. Then we'll fog all the seats and trade everyone out, and we'll have the opportunity to have worship again and again today. It's great to have you, and I want to remind you of 2 important things. Number one, step classes here on campus will begin Those gatherings are designed to give you the things you need in your spiritual toolbox to make the most out of your faith. Spiritual habits, discovering your spiritual gift, understanding where your life fits in God's great plan to evangelize and share the good news with the whole world. And then, of course, we could all use a little help in our finances. So those are starting. Please check the website or call the church office. The other thing that's beginning is basic beliefs. We're doing a Zoom version of that on Wednesdays and an on-campus version of that on Thursday with dinner. We have lots of good leaders. We have room for you, so I hope you'll make a decision today that you want to be a part of basic beliefs. It answers, I think, very well the great questions you have. It also fills in the gaps of what we don't understand in terms of our Christian faith. Hence, it's called Basic Beliefs. I believe you'll get the basics and a little bit more if you're a part of that. Don't miss this opportunity. Again, sign up online or call the church office to register. Today we have Nikki Compton James, our elder to youth ministry, reading our scripture passage.
Good morning, SCC family. Today's scripture is from Romans 7, verses 15 through 20, and I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it.
So we're starting a new series of messages called Internal Journey. Why the inside of us? Well, because who we really are is the inside of us, not the outside of us. And I need to remind you of that because of all the commercials you've been watching. Have you noticed that the vast majority of the commercials that you watch are talking about the exterior of who you are? How you look, your beauty, how your clothes are, the house that you live in, the car that you drive, the vacation that you might get to take this year. Lots of external, and this year has forced us to look at the internal, hasn't it? And I believe who we really are is who we are on the inside. Our personality, our character, how we think, our expectations, our feelings. Also our behaviors. And so as we start this internal journey, it makes sense to start with the culprit of why life is difficult, why they're difficult, why we might be difficult. And the answer to that simply is it's the sin that resides within us. Now, we didn't ask for sin, but, we're impacted by sin. And that sinful nature, it causes us to sin no matter how focused we are at being good and being godly. None of us are perfect. Now, I know none of us are perfect because, the Apostle Paul, and he was just, you want to talk about a Christian, you got Jesus and Paul. And even Paul says, I struggle with who I am on the inside, hence our scripture. Paul says, I do not really understand myself, For I want to do what is right, but I just don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. The trouble is with me, for I am all too human. Well, it's a very human thing to have a sin nature. In fact, it comes with the equipment of being a human. It comes with the equipment, and God has come to say, I know that sin has power over you, and what I want to do is I want to help you unplug from that. I want to help you have victory over that. I want to help you be able to set that behind you so that you can move forward and enjoy all of the life I have in store for you. What fights unplugging from sin is our pride. Our pride. Our pride wants to tell us, well, if nothing else, we're better than we think we are. Now, I know the truth. I think I'm better than I really am. Most people think they're better than they really are. And when it comes to the sin issue, we try to avoid it instead of looking at it straight on. What causes sin in our life? Well, we often want to identify them or it before we get to identifying ourselves. Well, if they were just more easy to live with, if that wasn't so enticing. And then finally, when we've looked outside of us, we finally look inside of us. And we realize, wow, I have a sinful nature. And we know we have a sinful nature because our attitude is, well, it's kind of like we're God. We think we know what's best for us. Now, it's true, you know what your favorite ice cream is. But when it comes to looking at your sin straight on and allowing God to unplug you from that sin, we think we're God. Even the prophet Ezekiel quotes this. He writes, "In the pride of your heart, you say, 'I am a God.' But you're just a human being and not a God, though you think you are as wise as a God." We think we're wise. We think we kind of have it all together. We think that if we were to embrace our sinfulness, somehow God wouldn't love us anymore. Other people wouldn't love us anymore. What is the cause? It's not them. It's not it. It's the fact that we've been impacted by original sin. That we, as part of being a human being, often think we're God and we know best, and many times that leads us in a bad direction. An ungodly direction, a sinful direction. Now, the solution to our sin problem is that we have to choose God. We have to allow God to be the leader of our life. And for that to happen, we have to realize that there are limits to our own ability to lead our life. That we all have what? Bad days. We've got bad thinking. We have emotions that lead us awry. Not bad emotions in what they are, but how we express those. And then, of course, there's our general sinful behavior. We're not perfect. In fact, we're fallen. And we have to set our own pride aside, and we have to choose God. Jesus made that very clear in Matthew in the Beatitudes. Number one, God blesses those that are spiritually poor and realize their need for Him. For the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Now, who doesn't want the kingdom of heaven? Anybody want to miss out on that? I mean, I know people that aren't Christians that don't want to miss out on that. Really? There's a heavenly kingdom? Oh, well, I want to know about that. And they want to know about that because they think they're a God, and that's the natural extension of them believing that they're a God, is that, oh, they're going to have a kingdom after they die. No, you'll be a part of the kingdom when you die. Entrance into the kingdom of heaven is not about pride, but about God's grace. Being spiritually poor, and I added spiritually so we don't miss the point. The point is that when we realize we need God to be the leader of our life, that God is the answer to our sin problem. And Jesus is. He's the answer to our ultimate sin problem, but He's also the answer to unplugging us from our sinful nature. And the more prideful we are, the more we're apt to not want to see our sinfulness and not be willing to admit our sinfulness. And if we want to take an internal journey, it does start with dealing with the fact that we're not perfect. We're not anything more at times than a sinner. Now, we are more than that, but that's the core of the issue. Core of the issue is our own pride. Our unwillingness to evaluate and look at our life and say, oh, we need improvement here and here, and wow, that's just straight sin. It's not giving glory to God. It's not honoring God. It's not living God's will. And if we pridefully say, well, I know how to live my own life, well, do you? Do you really? The great thing about grace is it helps us to admit the fact that we're prideful, that we're proud. And we need grace, that humbling grace, to bring us to the foot of the cross, to the great reality of Easter, that God has died for our sins and now we can be free of them. And when we die and resurrect, we'll be completely free of our sins. Right? Jesus came into this world to save us, not condemn us. And so we need grace so that we can admit that we fall short of God's glorious ideal. And at the core of that is a realization that, guess what? We're all broken. We're broken. We know we're broken because we keep looking for a sense of connection with God. We need that connection with God. We want to refuse that reality, but yet it's very true. In fact, in our brokenness, read Romans 8:20. Romans 8:20 says that everything in creation is cursed. Now, that doesn't mean it's all bad. It doesn't mean that you're all bad. Just the opposite. Sin is at the core, but God's design is to make it the less dominant thing in your life. The smaller thing in your life, not the major thing in your life. And even though we're cursed, we can ask Jesus to be the leader of our life. And as we follow that path and follow God's leading and direction in our life, well, have you noticed that decreases the sin in your life? But we have to admit it. We have to admit it if we want to defeat it. If you don't admit it, you'll never defeat it. We can't hide from our sin. What we need to do is we need to confess our sin. And to do that honestly, to do that openly before God, means that we have to admit to ourselves that we've sinned. And it makes sense if we're broken or we're missing a piece or two in our life, that what we need to do is go to God and ask God for His help. Once we realize that we're a sinner, when we realize God has more in store for us than we realized or would admit, when we humbly acknowledge that in our life, then, oh, the kingdom of heaven is ours. Then we just go to God and we ask Him for what we need. Right? The scriptures say you don't have it because you haven't asked. Humbly ask God. Paul says we saw how powerless we were to help ourselves. But that was good, for then we put everything into the hands of God. And I believe that's very true. I believe that if we think we have it all together, if we become very proud about how smart we are and how accomplished and successful we are, how much money we've got in the bank, how many toys we have in the garage or in the yard. See, that pride keeps us where we are. We get stuck. And sometimes we get stuck because we're fearful to confess our sins. It's fearful to us to acknowledge the fact that we need something else. We need someone else. We need a power outside of us to help us deal with our sin problem. It was good for us. Paul said. That way we put everything into God's hands, who alone could save us, and He could even raise us from the dead. See, if you want to save yourself, try it. Most of us are willing to acknowledge that we could use a little help. This last year, we've looked for help. We've asked for help. We've experienced the limitations of all the extra things in life. And we've gotten down to the basics, haven't we? And key there is that we've been able to set our pride aside and humbly go to God and ask Him to give us what we need. To give us the power that we need. And we do have a choice. We can keep doing it ourselves. Or we can go to God. And remember what Paul says. It's God alone who can save us. For He can even raise us from the dead. We all worry, we all fear about eternity. What's going to happen 30 seconds after we die? Another fear that we have is are we going to make it in this world? Are we going to make it one more day, one more week, one more month? And even if we have lots of good things coming into our into our life, when we put our head on the pillow at night, there's an anxiousness, a fear that comes over us that somehow we might lose it all. It might be taken away. That somehow we will be ambushed. God calls us to Him. He leads us. He protects us. When we confess our sin, He does give us a peace. A peace that passes all human understanding. We have to be willing to ask God. And when we ask God, He always answers. And we really have a choice in this life. We can turn to God and set our pride aside, or we can wait till our pride has been set aside. In some tragedy, some urgency, some crisis in our life, we realize we don't have it all together, and that's when we finally say, God, help us. And the great thing about God's grace is He helps us. He doesn't turn His back on us. He doesn't act as though He can't hear us. He doesn't say to us, well, you didn't honor me until this crisis, so, you know, the deal's off. No, that's to misunderstand the love and the grace and the mercy of God whenever we call upon His name. He's there, and He wants to bring His power, His miraculous, supernatural power to bear in any circumstance, in any relationship. And He does that because He knows the world's broken, He knows we're broken, and He is the one and only solution. That as we humble ourselves and come before Him, we set our pride aside. God puts us on His path, a path that He's designed just for each one of us. And no, it doesn't mean that we'll avoid all the original sin in the world, and it doesn't mean that you're going to get perfect overnight. It's a process of sanctification. But God never turns His back on us. We're always on God's mind. We are the object of His great affection. A second thing for us to realize is when we ask God, we should look around because God often uses other people to help us with our brokenness. James 5:16, admit your faults to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Wow. Can you say small groups? Man, that's the place. If you're not in a small group and you're new to this church or to the Christian faith, Rick's Basic Beliefs opportunity is a great thing for you to be a part of. In fact, if you're a little fearful about being in a small group, go be a part of Basic Beliefs and see if that doesn't encourage you, affirm you, help you. There is something about sharing our feelings, right? Revealing our feelings is really the beginning of God healing us. We have to confess. We have to set our pride aside. We have to humbly go before God, and we have to stay connected with those around us. Because many times it's other Christians that God uses to help us. love us enough that we can be honest and open about our feelings and our failures? And simply, if we can't admit before God and we can't really admit to other people that we're a little broken, maybe we're a lot broken. Maybe we made it to adulthood with a few missing pieces in our life. And we know to enjoy all that God has in store for us, we have to allow Him through the Holy Spirit to begin to mend our brokenness, to fill in the missing pieces of the puzzle of our life. And the great thing about God is you may not understand yourself. I don't understand myself completely. Maybe daily. But I know God understands me. He's the one that was there knitting me together in my mother's womb. He knows my strengths and my weaknesses. He knows where I'm gifted and I'm not gifted. He knows for me where my life is easy and where my life is hard. And all He really wants to do is help. All He really wants to do is heal. All He really wants to do is to give you a hope and a future. Jesus stated this first in the Beatitudes. Those that are spiritually poor, those that are humble and are willing to confess that to God, those that are willing to allow Him to lead their life, those that aspire to walk the path of the will of God for their life, those people realize that the kingdom of heaven is theirs up ahead and each and every day. Let us pray. Lord, You always bring to our mind something as we get on the subject of our brokenness, our weakness, where we fall short of Your glorious ideal. You bring that to our minds so that we can confess it to You. And that we are broken and that we are sinners. Well, we know that because of the guilt and the shame that comes along with that. And You're so good at washing away the guilt and the shame and replacing that with a humble reliance upon You. You whisper us that your goal for us is that we would be successful, that we would always have a future and a hope in You. And Lord, how when we sin, we feel as though that's all been cast aside. Yet You are a God of great mercy and grace. And it is only by Your grace that we can admit who we really are and who we really aren't. And know that by the Holy Spirit, You not only want to regenerate us, but You want to sanctify us. You want to transform us from the inside out. And Lord, this is a big key to the inside. So Lord, we offer this to You. Help us to empty our hands of our guilt and our shame. And Lord, fill our hands with Your love and Your grace, Your mercy, Your eternal forgiveness. And that You would do that for us, Lord, as holy as You are. You're just a great God. And we thank you for your presence, your power, your peace that passes all understanding, all great results of the forgiveness that you lavish upon us because you love us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, as we go, I hope we know that God wants to bless us, that God does have a hope and a future for us, for you. And a simple way to make your way is just aspire to love God with all of your heart, mind, and soul, and aspire to love your neighbor as yourself. Amen.